that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Let me get all the buttons pushed here and we'll bring all the Wranglers on board. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing well.
Good, good. And good morning, John.
Morning.
Oh, got a little something going on there. Not quite sure what that is. And well, we say good morning to you, the remnant. And this is... Oh, got a little something coming in on one of the channels on the bridge there, Jason. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Can you hear that down there?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. So maybe it's on your phone, John. Don't know. Not sure. What a... You just never know. Since old Ma Bell retired, the telephone lines have just gone to who knows what. But that's how it goes. But we do welcome you here this Saturday morning, September 5th, 2015. We'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, if you have a comment this morning, we've already mentioned a couple things before the broadcast we might get to today. But if you want to give us a call, the phone lines are open. And Jason, would you open us up in prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We come before you and we just ask and we pray for your will, not our will, Father. And we ask that you just guide us and direct us in all that we do on our personal lives, on our everyday life. And Father, we just ask that you just guide us and direct us, Father. Quicken us with the working of the Holy Spirit to guide us to make the right decisions that we should make, Father. We pray that you just protect us, Father. Protect us and our families, and that you put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, and that are yours, Father. That you protect us, that you keep us safe, that you station those angels about us, put a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, the forces that come against us, Father. We know that these enemies are raging, Father, and this war is heating up, Father, and we just look to you, Father, for our protection. We look to you for our deliverance. We cry out to you for our deliverance, Father, and we pray that you just continue to just strengthen us, Father. Let us allow us to take a great part, Father, in the things to come, Father. We pray that you use our boot heels to stomp these enemies of Christ into the ground, Father. We pray that you deliver them into our hands, Father. And we come against all these evil, diabolical forces of hell that have come against us and that are attacking us and our children, Father, and our families, Father. And we just pray against them in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind, bundle them. We cast them to your feet. We ask for you to deal with them as you see fit, Father. We pray that you just help us to smile at the future and have that peace that passes understanding in our lives, that you comfort us when we see the things going on that we see today, Father. We pray that you just make that transfer, Father. Allow your people to be brought up higher and higher, Father. We pray that people out across this land, that they can recognize the sins in their lives, Father, and that they can turn from them, and that they can confess them to you, and that they can make that change, Father. We know that when we confess our sins, when we turn from our ways, Father, that we have more spiritual power, Father, and we desire that power, and we desire that strength. And we just ask, Father, for you to continue to teach our hands for battle, Father, as our King David prayed so many years ago. We pray that you train them for battle. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll put it out there, guys. Wherever you want to start this morning, I had a couple things I wanted to bring up out of Ezekiel, but I'll sure wait.
Go ahead. No time like the present.
Well, been reading through the Bible. Hopefully you have been. And we've got the September Bible reading plan posted. So it starts out in Ezekiel, and we'll get through Ezekiel here by the middle of the month. I want to remind you that in just less than 2 weeks, we have a 91st day. And just a quick summary, you know, they are a Sabbath between the seasons. And so we have that coming up on starting Thursday, September 17th, through Friday, September 18th. And so on that day, we encourage you to read the 91st Psalm, to be reading your Bible, to be in prayer, to take that day as a Sabbath if you can. And it marks the end of summer and the beginning of fall. And so we encourage you to do that. And if you want that Bible reading plan, we print them out and send them out with the orders the first couple weeks of the month. Again, it's posted at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And you can click on the Bible reading plan there on the left, and it'll give you that monthly schedule. And so much just jumps out. Things that we've heard before, things that we've heard our pastor preach and teach on. Anyway, just a couple things that popped out. Ezekiel 18:30 says, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God." And it's still that same story. It truly is that we will be judged in each and everything that we do. And then again in Ezekiel 20, it talks about how in the beginning of chapter 20, how the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before Ezekiel because they knew they didn't like the things that Ezekiel had been telling them, but they knew that he was getting the true word from the Lord. And God says in verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Do you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you." And I think today that just the cold hard fact of it is many people that think they are Christians, many people that claim to be Christians, but are living as, if you've read Ezekiel, living as these elders in this time frame were, living in sin, worshiping false gods, not obeying the word of the Lord, but doing whatever they wanted to, with whoever they wanted to, wherever they wanted to. They would do that, and then they would turn around and try to inquire of the Lord. And, you know, when I read this, it doesn't sound like, you know, this is not the same tone that God has used in other places. This is not the same tone that Jesus Christ used when he said, "Arise, your faith has made you well." This is, "Do you come to me? Do you come to inquire of me? As I live, I will not be inquired of by you." And God says, "I won't even hear it." And I think that the application today is that God, if you're living in sin, if you've got unrepentant sin in your life, the way I see it, that's how these people were. They were flamboyant in their sin. They really didn't even hide it. And then they would try to do that maybe during the week, you know, do that 6 days a week, and on that seventh day, or, you know, then try to come and lift up prayers to God and ask God what, you know, what his will was. And he wouldn't even listen to him. He said, "I'm not even going to let you, I'm not even going to hear you." And I think the application today is that, you know, people, if you find your prayers aren't being answered, if you're feeling that way, this is one place to look. You know, are your iniquities so full? Or are you just so full of sin, whether you think you are or not, but according to the Word of God, that God just doesn't, he doesn't even listen. And you know, this is not the God that's preached out there in the Antichrist Judeo-Christian church world. But this is the God of the Bible. Anyway, that was just something that kind of jumped out at me. And it, because God doesn't change. He hasn't changed. Back in Ezekiel 18:23, yeah, he says, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God?" And the answer is no. But he says, rather that he should turn from his ways and live. And when we repent, when we turn from that sin, when we turn from the wicked ways, when we turn from doing things that are right in our own eyes, and we turn back to him, well then, you know, then we can live. Then God does have pleasure in us and in what we do. Anyway.
Yeah, it's neat how at time to time when you're reading through the Bible, those scriptures just jump out at you.
Yep. You see the...
Convict you.
You do. You see the story over and over and over again. Of God, the loving Father, the husband, the Creator. He loves his children. He loves his bride. He loves the house of Israel. He loves the house of Judah. But he only puts up with so much. And if you've been reading through, you've seen this. You know, you've seen this foundation be laid, this description of the players in the story, the people that are in this Bible, those that have come before us, those who we come from, and how they, time and time again, when God would bless them and drive their enemies out before them, it might be a generation that they worshipped him, but time and time again, what do? They go to the foreign gods. They go and they start being, we as a people go and start being like everybody else, the ungodly, instead of being his called out ones. And I think we have this word to show us that once again we've done that. We are just like that today as a people. Well, I'm getting some kind of tone in on Jason. It's just coming in on this bridge Telos we have coming in, you know, comes in on two channels, and I'm getting it on one of the channels. I don't know what that Morse coding is. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to the phone line this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Wranglers.
Morning.
It must be the Holy Spirit here, because I got something here. Something just jumped out at me the other day from the book of Acts, chapter 10, about the centurion, Cornelius. And I was pondering the last part of that chapter where the Holy Spirit was being poured out on the Gentiles. And verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And I remember years ago listening to a preacher on shortwave talking about this and being an evidence that you do not need to be water baptized. And he left a phone number to call at the end of the sermon. So I called him, and I tried to explain to him that you're leaving out a whole bunch, and I pointed out the scriptures regarding that, and it didn't make any difference to him what I said. He was right. But I still had that in the back of my mind. It was, you know, gnawing at me a little bit, how these people could have the Holy Spirit. And it occurs to me that they really didn't have the Holy Spirit. It was just being poured on them. And I think Peter was deceived too, because he says, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? So it occurred to me to look up the word received. And in Strong's, it's number 2983, Lambano, and it means to take, among other things. So I don't think that those Gentiles who had the Holy Spirit poured on them, they were speaking in tongues and exalting God and so forth, I don't think they were capable of taking the Holy Spirit as their own, let alone repenting. So I think this is a really good tool to use to refute somebody who quotes Acts 10 as evidence of just believing.
Well, if they would read it in verse 48, he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I think sometimes we get so tied up in the order of things. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is how it has to be. It has to be like A and then B and then C, you know. And we read here, and I don't think in the book of Acts that there's any conversions without baptisms.
No.
And so it's right there. It's as simple in the conversion of Saul, if you flip back just a few pages, you know.
Yeah.
The conversion of Saul back in verse 9, who became the Apostle Paul. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately they fell from his eyes. So there he was, filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And so, you know, whether it happens immediately or if it's 20 years later, God is, you know, we don't understand time like God does, but, you know, the scriptures are clear that Acts 2:38, let me flip over there, yep, still there. Yep, still there.
But, you know, let's see, the point I was trying to make is, and I may be wrong, that this is the first time I've ever actually understood that the word receive me, it's a conscious action. And these Gentiles who had the Holy Spirit poured out upon them in Acts 10 were in no condition to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was engulfing them. It's like the tongues of fire back in Acts 2. Those people, not did not necessarily receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
But it was poured out on them. Absolutely.
And I believe that those Gentiles were, they were basically in an ecstatic state. They were unable to do much of anything. And it doesn't say anything to that effect, but when they snapped out of it, they might have been standing around dumbfounded saying, "Where am I? What happened?"
It might have been, Joe, but the word tells us that then he ordered them to be baptized.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, just like baptism is not an end to being a Christian, it's a beginning. And so, and we're learning more about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're reading more about it. We're asking for it more, as our pastor did. You know, how many times did he have the whole congregation, he'd say, "Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit." And he'd have everybody say that. And and when we ask, we receive. You may not get it immediately, but we do get it. And, you know, John, I know you've really, you know, felt more and had more of the leading of the Holy Spirit here in the last, whether you say it, few years, months, weeks.
Yeah.
You know, we're learning in this area.
Since the, yeah.
All right, well, have a good day, and we'll talk to you again.
You too, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Bye.
All right.
Well, you know, when you pray too, "Lord, what wouldest thy have thy servant do?" You know, or "Here I am, Lord, use me." Don't be surprised if he calls you and starts to use you.
Amen.
If you're sincere about what you're asking.
Amen. Amen. And it may not be what you thought he was going to have you do. It may not be in the direction that you thought he wanted you to go. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. It's ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard. This is Jim. How are you this morning?
We're good. Good morning, Jim.
Good. Hey, can you pour me a cup of coffee really quick?
You know, I was just looking, and it isn't quite. It's still brewing, but it's almost done. And I sure can.
All right.
It's coming up close.
All right. Hey, I have a question about, I've been hearing people talk about praying for the peace of Jerusalem and the so-called Jews and praying for the peace in Jerusalem. Is that biblical? I just started that Bible reading course, so I'm not really sure where that is in the Bible. Is that in the Bible anywhere? Or what are they saying, and what is the truth about that?
Well,
this is the true Jerusalem. This is the promised land here, so the way I read it says pray for Jerusalem, it's praying for Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you...
I remember listening to Pastor Peters. Wasn't David standing in Jerusalem when God told him he'd find a new place for you, my people?
Yeah, it's back in Psalms 122.
Yeah.
And so,
okay.
One thing that and I'm just looking at it here. Well, let's read it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's Psalms 122:6. Okay? And we are to take every word... all the Bible. And that was one of the things, one of the many things that Pastor was able to do, was he was able to tie together and explain all the scriptures, as opposed to taking one scripture and building a denomination on it, which is how so many people have done. And so 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, is the next verse. And they must go together. So, you know, may they prosper who love you. He doesn't say may they prosper who hate you. May they prosper who deny you. May they prosper who love you. And so, we know there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. And so people out there can claim to know God, and they can claim to be so right with God that they won't even spell out G-O-D. They think they're so righteous. And they think they're so righteous that they won't even do work on what they call their Sabbath day. Because they're told, not to work on the Sabbath. And they think they are so righteous. But may they prosper who love you. If we love him, he says, keep my commandments. But the only way to the Father is through the Son. And so if you have a people that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I don't think that God himself is going to say, pray for their peace. You understand? It's kind of
that's what I was thinking, too.
It's exactly what it is. And so at this time, in the time of David, well, it was the Hebrew, the Israelites, the true tribes that were there. And so when you keep reading it, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. And so it certainly doesn't apply to praying for the Antichrist today.
No.
If that was your question, you know.
Yeah, I knew that, but I was just trying to refresh my memory with some of your knowledge. So I appreciate that. Sure. Want to clear that up. All right.
All right, Jim.
Well, thank you very much, and you guys have a good Saturday.
You too. God bless.
God bless. Bye.
All right, Jim. 307-745-5913 is the number if you want to call.
I guess there seems to be a change, at least in how the Lord's using me since Passover and the coming out of the desert message. And the reality is we do want to come out of the desert. We're done wandering. We want the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us and lead us so that every step we take is a step of power and a step of authority that the Lord gives us through His Holy Spirit. And some people can't see that, and some aren't with us anymore, and we pray for them, you know. I pray that
Amen.
That they'll see the light and that they'll come back to the truth. But, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And there's things that have been stolen from us, just like things that Pastor Peter's discovered. I believe there's things that have been stolen, just like Jason says. There's things that are part of the Great Commission that if we deny that, then how do we have any hope, you know?
Absolutely.
These things God said we would do, greater things than Jesus did. You know, and the scripture that keeps convicting me is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Amen.
Now, if you don't have life abundantly, somebody's stealing it from you. Don't you want to know what it is? Don't you want to find out what it is that's stealing your abundant life? I do.
Amen.
Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he is not concerned about the sheep. Well, I've got news for you, Remnant. We're in a position as a shepherd and we care about the sheep, and we want you to have life abundantly. We want you to have peace and joy and hope. Because the reality is, we read the end of the book. We win. We have the victory. These are just birth pangs that we're going through. But if we have the faith and we have the Holy Spirit for us, greater is He that is for us than all those who can come against us, and no weapon formed shall prosper. Then why don't we stand on those things?
Amen.
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 So before you're getting all upset about something new that, you know, we're exploring, which is biblical, by the way, maybe you ought to just open your Bible and look and see what the Bible says about it.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. Amen. And there's, you know, there's still just a few things in these 66 books that we don't have down 100%. and that nobody does. If we did, we've talked about it before, if we understood every aspect and every every way of God and had a full and complete and 100% understanding here, which I think we will have one day, but not here, not today. It's not this day that we get that. You know, we still see through the glass darkly, as the Bible says. And he reveals line upon line and precept upon precept. And we are to be still growing in his grace and his knowledge. And John, you're absolutely right. If we just build four walls around us, whether it's ourselves, this ministry, whatever it may be, and say, you know, we've got it figured out. It's this. And you just do A, B, and C. You do it in this order, 1, 2, and 3, and that's it. Well, then we've become like all the other religions that are putting the traditions of man and the traditions of what those that came before us did and nothing else, and holding that as higher and truer than the Word. And we can't do that. We can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the Getting Elite sent me a text earlier this week, and it was like in the book of Matthew, when Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, you know, she assures him that it was the Holy Spirit. So Joseph grabs her by the arm and calls her a lying whore. And then, how can you have the Holy Spirit fall upon you if you haven't been baptized, right? That's what he said, wasn't it? And then for the remission of sins, then Joseph takes her out before everyone, and right before he casts the first stone at the lying Holy Spirit, Mary gets a vision from God and tells him to stop. But no, that ain't what the Bible says. What it says is he was a righteous man who secretly sought to divorce her so not to cause her shame. He had a tender heart of compassion. He was meek. Remember, meek does not mean weak. Right. It means strong in the Lord.
Yes.
And the Lord was able to communicate with him. And, you know, there's other examples where things may not happen in the order that we think. Maybe baptism for the remission of sins wasn't the first thing. I'm working on a message on it right now, on how many times were they baptized by the Holy Spirit? How many times did the Holy Spirit fall upon people before they were baptized
right.
by water?
Absolutely.
Oh, well, wait a minute. You can't do that. Well, I'm not. But God did.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are we? Who are we to tell God, wait a minute now, God, it's supposed to be in this order. Huh? Who are we? Or who are we to tell God, oh, wait, God, you can't bless that person over there.
How about we pray for them?
Absolutely.
That they see the truth and that they are baptized for their remission of sins.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But guess what? We don't have all truth. I got news for you. There's other ministries out there that have some truth that we need, and they need the truth that we have. And how about we quit fighting between ourselves and come together as one against the real enemy, Satan, and his demonic forces of hell.
Amen. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Amen. Quit fighting. Good morning, gentlemen, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, Ralph. Hey, I'll pour you a cup of coffee.
It
just
right
got
ahead.
Finished brewing. Jim wasn't holding out on you, but we have fresh coffee around here, and so we make sure that it's good and fresh before we pour it. But good morning, brother.
Well, I want to read something.
Go ahead.
Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet while in his mother's womb. Now, how in the world is John the Baptist going to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit if he's still in his mama's womb?
Yeah, excellent point, Ralph.
Yeah. Now, wait, here, wait a second. I'll get a little bit further. 140, when he entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, and it came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leaped in the womb. There's the prophecy being fulfilled right there. That is when John became filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Because it says right there, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to get past this, that God cannot work with us unless we have been baptized. We do need to be baptized, but we've got to get over this because we're boxing in our Lord. I think our Lord's a little bit more greater to be able to do that. How many times did the Spirit fall upon King Saul?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit would fall upon him, and it said he sat there naked and prophesied. And we have got to get over this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell on people before and after.
Yeah.
Yep. It fell on before and after water baptism.
Right.
And we think that we've got it all fired, figured out. We don't understand God's grace. We don't understand His mercy. We don't understand a fraction of the infinite. And people are ready to cast the first stone because they don't hear Acts 2:38 every single time.
Yeah. And we just have to grow beyond that, like you said, Ralph.
Yes,
we're not being condemning here. We're saying
yes.
We just have to grow. Nobody's throwing out Acts 2:38.
No,
you know,
no,
but
they're not.
But we are recognizing that there's you know, again, that's not an end. You know, we certainly hold to the Bible truth that is a necessary work. It's a necessary.
I make my whole salvation on it.
Absolutely, absolutely, it is, because the Bible talks about it from the beginning to the end. Wash yourselves, cleanse mm-hmm. yourselves, be baptized into Christ, so that you're clothed in Christ. I mean, absolutely, the Bible. Nobody's throwing that out. And so now that we've got that foundation established, well, let's build a little more on it. Let's move a little further down the line, staying on the straight and narrow, still building on that, but understanding, just like the Bible says, that and we just read in Acts 10, you know, he had the Holy Spirit fall upon these people, and when he saw it, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They, you know, this showed that God and Jesus Christ came to the dispersion as well, what they called the Gentiles at that time. That it wasn't just for this one little group of people here. And
right.
That was new for them. That caused problems with the disciples and the apostles. Because some of them, they all didn't just say, oh, okay, and go along with it. You can read through. Sometimes they went their separate ways. And this was one of the problems. Now, once they started to see it over a period of time, then they began to understand that, hey, this gospel message, this Jesus Christ, is not only to those of us here in Judea, still in the old Jerusalem, still here, but it's to those others as well, you know.
I think we forget that the Bible also says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling daily.
Yes, you know, it does.
Sometimes we're no different than the Judeo-Christians, where we think, well, we've been baptized, so we can do anything we want, and we're still, you know, going to inherit the kingdom. I don't know.
As a group, we're almost as bad as those that were upset the Gentiles were having the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're looking at this.
And we can't be that way.
As a group as a whole, and not every one of us, but we look at something and say, well, how can they be doing that? They don't preach Acts 2:38 every single time. And if you look into this ministry that people are starting to condemn, the man does encourage water baptism. He does. I've heard him say it. I've seen him say it.
Oh, absolutely.
I've read his writing. I've seen his videos. I was sitting right next to him when a man asked him, what do you think about water baptism? And he said, absolutely essential. So,
yeah.
It's just, we've got to remember that we're not the only people that God, well, that belongs to God.
Yeah.
We are not.
Yep.
He has a whole world
Amen.
Of people he can use.
Amen.
And use effectively, and people out here use it in ways that we as a group right now ain't using it.
Yeah, that we need to learn from. You know, I encourage the remnant, read the book of Acts. We're reading through the Bible. Is it too much for those of us that call ourselves Christians to sit down and read this book that tells us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is it too much? Read the book of Acts. Read through it. Here in Acts 11, verse 12, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And that means without making any distinction. Because he was going to those that previously didn't preach the way they preached, didn't look the way they looked, didn't act and talk the way they acted and talked. But see, God knew. They didn't know. They didn't know. Peter didn't know. The Apostle Peter, in Acts 11, he's giving this report. He's telling of what happened earlier in the book of Acts. He didn't know that he was supposed to go to them until the Holy Spirit told me to go to them without misgivings. Now, the other apostles had a problem with that for a while. I hope that that lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
But it lets us know that we're walking as the apostles walked, in similar ways, in growing, in expanding the gospel.
The last two Bransons, you know, tearing down the high places. Those high places are things that we've built up in our mind. You know, we realize that we have to have a broken and contrite heart and a broken and contrite spirit, and we have to have complete humility and complete repentance. So we're going to these things, and we're, you know, God's putting it upon our heart what the theme is to be, and then it is time. Well, it is time. This is the year. Let's do it. Let's genuinely seek the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to fall upon us just like it did in the day of Pentecost. And you know what? If you're speaking in tongues and it's done biblically, then you better not condemn that either.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. I've seen both. I've seen both. Witnessed both.
I witnessed proper
speaking in tongues, and I've witnessed people dancing around, falling around, and flopping on the floor. And I've witnessed people quietly praying in tongues. And if you don't have discernment to be able to tell which one's which, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
Yeah. But, well, we're at a point, you know, where we're gonna share the truth, biblical truth. We're gonna back it up with Scripture. And if you don't like it, then it's just like Pastor Peter said: you have to dust your feet and move on.
Amen.
And, you know, I hate to say it, but if there's only 70 left, but those 70 can heal the sick, raise the dead, cause the blind to see, and the lame to walk, I got news for you. The ministry that will come out of those 70 will be bigger than anything that the world calls mega churches these days.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, without the moving and power of the Holy Spirit, we'll never get to that point.
And there was those
that's why
in our midst.
That's why it's so essential. We've got to get to the point where, and I'm guilty of this, get to the point where you can sit in front of a casket, and every bit of your being is saying, look at that man and say, Steve, get out of that casket in the name of Jesus, but you're too scared to do it. When you see a little girl bleeding with a finger, this happened to me the other day. And I said to myself, I believe the Spirit is telling me, lay your hands on her and say, be healed. And I didn't do it. I went and ran and got cayenne pepper and showed them that. And then after the fact, I sat back and thought, and we've got to. I mean, what's it going to hurt? Just lay my head on that child and say, the name of Jesus, bleeding, stop. So we've got to get to that place, people. And I know I get that place in my life.
Yeah. Well,
it's not going to hurt. It definitely ain't going to hurt to say it, but if you don't say it, it ain't going to happen.
That's when the revival will take place, just like it did in the beginning, when the miracles and the people see the power of God, and they see that there's men of God who have the faith that whatever they speak in accordance with God's word and God's will, it will be done. And we trust in that. And we're getting closer. We ain't there, but we're getting closer. And we'll continue to grow if we're not closed mind. I mean, anything that's in this Bible, all the answers are in this Bible right here.
Amen.
We just have to seek them out. And remember, too, that in the last days, knowledge would increase. Imagine that. You think maybe we might get new knowledge in the last days? I think so.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
Amen.
You know, something else about the Holy Spirit that's been coming to my mind that I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around? We can blaspheme the name of God. We can blaspheme the name of Jesus and be forgiven, not that we should. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness.
Yep.
How can all three be the same thing, but you can blaspheme three of them, two out of the three, and it's okay? I guess that tells you how important the Holy Spirit is.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you, gentlemen?
Yeah.
I'm having trouble wrapping that around about that. How can they be three offices, all be God, and you can blaspheme two of them and be forgiven, but not one of them?
Yeah, well, Psalms 51, too. Remember when David's crying out to God about his sins, he's, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He knew without the Holy Spirit, there's no point.
Yes.
So, good point.
And, and that's another example of Holy Spirit happening without without water baptism yet.
Yeah.
Of course, that commission wasn't there yet, but just goes to show that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can immerse people. And that's what baptism means, immerse.
Yeah.
It can immerse people.
It can be poured out upon people.
God is bigger than we are.
Yeah.
He can do this.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to put in a few words.
Ralph, thanks for calling and
thank
sharing
you,
those scriptures and your thoughts.
Yeah. God bless, gentlemen. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too. Well, Jason, you're awful quiet over there.
Yup.
Just taking it in?
Yeah. You know, I read a story this week, but that was actually came across it several places. It was kind of interesting because the headline was Russian soldiers attempting to purchase property in La Porte, Colorado.
Yeah.
Really?
Did you hear about that?
I missed that one.
And it was basically last week there was Russians were going door to door in La Porte, Colorado, trying to purchase properties, asking people if they wanted to sell their house.
Wow!
And you know, we're seeing so many different things like that. Basically, it was one of the things that we're finding out is. There's going to be a lot more Russian activity in the United States. A couple stories up there that I've heard about, you know, right now this fire season up in Washington State has just been horrible, and they're just having outbreaks of fires all over the place. Several groups of firefighters back in the National Forest back there, which there's a lot of National Forest in the state of Washington, and especially around where these fires are. Not very easy to get in and out of, but they've come across several Black Hawk helicopters in small camps back there. And when they run across with them, you know, of course they get their guns pulled on them and, you know, want to know what they're doing, tell them that they're in a restricted area, they're not supposed to be there. And, you know, the firefighters tell them, well, we're supposed to be here, we're, you know, doing our job. But the thing that kept coming out of these stories is that the ones that were in charge were Russians. And, you know, I don't know, it's just kind of interesting of all of, you know, that kind of activity that all of a sudden, you know, it seems like it goes in spurts. You hear stuff about it, you don't hear stuff about it, you hear stuff, but it seems like lately there's been a lot of chatter about it and a lot of things like this have been taking place, and it's just kind of interesting, you know, and, you know, you got to wonder, you know, what would bring Russians to La Porte, Colorado? I mean, La Porte, Colorado is a small town, small community, and I just don't believe that it's coincidence that they're going there trying to purchase property. I'm not sure what to make of it at this point, but I thought it was interesting and worth sharing.
Yeah, some of the conspiracy theorists, imagine that, even said when we had that big burnout here close to town, you know, that what they're doing is... The people who live out in the sticks, you know,
they're trying to burn them out.
Yeah, they're the preppers. They're the ones that could survive without having to go to the grocery store, you know, every 3 days. And
yep.
They don't know all of them. A lot of them have places that were built up here in Risk Canyon and stuff that were built without permits, you know, squatters
and completely
off grid. Like that. Yeah, they don't even, I mean, and they're so well hidden in those mountains that they don't know where they are. Well, guess what? There is no coverage anymore. And those people who went to try to rebuild, they can't rebuild because they never had a permit the first place, and they're not going to give them a permit this time.
So, you know, you can say whatever you want, call it conspiracy theory, but if you ever get a chance, look at Agenda 21, and it's right on the United Nations website, and their plan is so that you cannot afford to live in your rural areas, and you live in their stack and pack housing alongside of their public transportation. And if you look in your city, you'll see public transportation, federally funded, big bucks in buses. And now those buses don't just go down through town. They go all over the place. And if you look around, you'll start to see bus stops all over the place, because at some point, guess what? You don't need a car because we provide you transportation. So.
Yeah, and they're doing the same thing. You know, with what I noticed, I can't remember what street that is, if it's South Taft or what, but they took out, they actually took the two-lane road out and made it back down to a one-lane road, which it would have been better if it was three, and put in two extra-large bike lanes.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
they did that on campus, too.
I mean, yeah, they're taking roads out from cars and putting them over to, and that's all part of Agenda 21 also. I mean,
yeah.
Basically they want
to... You know why they've been doing that for years? California.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for years. They got worse traffic problem in any of the states, right? In California, pretty much. And what are they doing? They're doing exactly what you said, Jason. They're taking road space and they're turning it into bicycle lanes.
You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday about that, and, you know, we were ranting and raving about it, you know, and it's, you think that those bicycles, are they the ones that paid for that road? Are they the one that paid for that asphalt? You know, it's tax dollars. It's based on gas tax. And, you know, just talk about, you know, how, it's thievery. You know, they've taken what we put into it, was supposed to be the roads for the vehicles that pay the taxes, with the gas tax that is outrageous every time you buy a gallon of gas. You know, these roads ought to be paved in gold for as much money as they take in off of it. But, you know, they're taking that away and giving it over to these bicyclists.
Yeah, we're seeing oil prices right now that were the same price per barrel when gas was 99 cents a gallon. You tell me why we're paying $2.50.
Yeah, the money's not going to the road tax, that's for sure. That's for sure. You bring up an excellent point, Jason. If the people would just think about that. The Isaiah 5:8, I think John addresses that Agenda 21 you were talking about. It says, it's woes for the wicked. And it says, woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. And that's exactly what it is. I think it's sarcasm about living alone, but that's what so many people of our people do. They live alone in that apartment. They live alone in that townhouse. And that's the plan. There's the scriptures for it. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field. And that's Isaiah 5:8.
Well, not what they want. What they're doing really is they're building these apartments with common areas, and there may be 4, 5, 6 bedrooms, but they share a kitchen, and they share, typically they may have 2 bathrooms or whatever, and a family room and a living room. And guess what? You're going to pay X amount of dollars, $450 to $600 a month, for a room in a common dwelling.
Yeah. And see, they've been doing that with the dorms, with the universities, and that type thing for years and years and years. And that's training the people. That gets the people used to that. Very military-like.
Well, if you look, too, what these fires have done, even here in Colorado, the local Forest Service has been taken over by the federal. So what are we doing? You know, we're taking away some of the local authority.
Yes.
Just like they are in police force and everything else, and they're giving it to the feds.
Yeah.
So there's these fires. Me thinks there's something wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. Guys, we got time for one last caller, just a minute. Hey, welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Well, morning, Richard. This is Marlon again in Tennessee.
Good morning, Marlon.
Hey, Marlon, how are you?
Good, very good. I just had one little quick thing that I'd like to interject.
Sure.
When I was a boy, we went to one of the churches where it was very commonplace to hear people speak in tongues, and I didn't always understand it. It was taught. I can remember a time when the preacher would be preaching, and there would come a lull, and he would stop, and someone would actually speak in tongues aloud, and we might wait 2 or 3 minutes, which seemed like a very long time, and then there would be an interpretation. And the interpretation was, the speaking in tongues was, it's like a foreign language. I mean, you could tell there was an inflection in the voice. They would go up at the end of a sentence, and they would come down at the end of the sentence, and then interpretation would come, and it was very real. And I don't pretend to understand it all, but, you know, Pastor taught a lot of things as he was learning. He would tell us, you know, I don't have all this figured out yet, but we'll learn it together. And amen. I would just like to say to those that, you know, that might be tempted to just quit and move along, have you ever noticed that people that are constantly quitting and starting over again, whether it's in their workplace or their marriage or whatever, they never get ahead. They never learn those lessons. They just quit and start over again and quit and move on and quit and move on. How about we all just hang tight and maybe we can, you know, all learn together. So.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. Agreed.
Thank you, Marlon. Yeah, unless you want to take another lap around Mount Sinai, you know. But the times are to the point now where we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to figure out all of these keys that God's given us in this book called the Holy Bible. And once we figure that out, once our obedience is complete, God says He will punish their disobedience.
Well, I could also remember a time when somebody would speak like that and there wasn't an interpretation, and the pastor would actually admonish them from the pulpit. I mean, he wouldn't dress them down or anything, but he would give that clear instruction. Look, this is the way, and you have to learn to discern. And, you know, I mean, so I don't know. You know, it's, and I've been exposed to it, and I still don't understand it all. But I just want to encourage people to hang tough, be tough for crying out loud. Just,
amen.
Just hang in there.
Amen. But see, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit too, and that, you know, Lord willing, we're going to look deeper into that too. So praise God.
Marlon, thank you so much. Brother. Have a great weekend.
Good to speak with y'all, and I look forward to hearing more.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Marlon. Well, folks, we're out of time. We thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're on the internet at scripturesforamerica.org. We also encourage you to go to our network website, SFAWBN. And as we're wrapping up on this Saturday morning, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. And if you come, I think we're starting out with, John, a live service at 10. You have a little something to bring to people, I think. Is that still online, you think? So we encourage you to join us 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. If you have a good internet connection, click on the live video stream and join us there for, I guarantee you, a Holy Spirit-inspired message and communion and music. And so we'll leave you with that. Again, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Oh, there. they're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move